On today's episode of After Hours with Bleck and Abdallah, we talk about Billy Donovan and why he'd be better off going to Kentucky. Also, Abdallah, the top 25 pizzas in America?
Yeah, where's Chicago on there? Where's the Chicago places on the list, Yelp? Huh? Huh?
A secret concert in Chicago on top of a wiener. Yep, that's true. That's something we talk about. And then also, would you use a trash bag as a disguise to steal packages? We get into all of that. Make sure you like and subscribe to the channel. You can also download the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. After Hours with Bleck and Abdallah starts now. Today we start with the Connecticut Huskies. They win the national championship last night, Abdallah, and it was a good game between Connecticut and Purdue. You have a Connecticut team that essentially back-to-back seasons, they were the best team in college basketball. We saw it last night.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And once again, they just absolutely demolished the spread. So not only are they winning these games, they've covered every single one of these games. Yeah, it was close until about 3 minutes into the second half when UConn just started to do what UConn has been doing the entire tournament. They make adjustments. Dan Hurley's an excellent head coach. And now you wonder, the rumors start to fly, what's going to happen with Dan Hurley? What's going to happen with Kentucky? All this kind of stuff. But as far as last night goes, a great game, a great tournament, and the right team won. Like, the best team all year ended up winning. You got the two best teams in the country in the final game. The best team in the country throughout the entire season won. UConn's a national champion.
You mentioned the spread. The games weren't close.
No.
I mean, this tournament run by UConn was a bloodbath.
Yeah.
They took care of business and they blew out everyone. Last night, Purdue kept it a little close, but essentially the second half, it wasn't a contest. And I think that's where you go back to 91-92 with Duke. They're back-to-back teams, 06-07 with Florida's back-to-back teams. This is one of the great runs, a two-year run from a college basketball team that we've seen in the last 40 years. And they're going to be in that class with those others that I just mentioned, Duke and Florida of the past.
Absolutely. And if you look at the odds for next year, they've got top four odds to repeat again, to go for the three-peat. And, you know, it's something that Dan Hurley afterwards mentioned that he wants to do. Now, does he get swayed to another school? I think he's got it pretty well made at a blue blood school like UConn. I think we can call them a blue blood and put them on par with Duke, Kentucky, North Carolina. Like,
well, they're certainly on par.
Yeah.
But blue blood, what does that mean? That means like the history is there. You've been great for multiple decades, which UConn is now doing.
Yeah.
But the blue bloods are like Kansas, Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina.
I think you can put UConn there now.
Yeah, they replace Indiana. Indiana used to be a blue blood.
Yes.
They're no longer a blue blood, right? Like, no offense to those Hoosiers that are out there, but yeah, you're right. UConn slots in there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, if I'm Dan Hurley and I'm looking at Kentucky's calling, that kind of thing, I've got it made at UConn. It's not like this isn't a one and done type of school. This isn't like a one off that they got there. Oh, and now he's going to move on to the next job. UConn's one of the best jobs in the country right now. He's done a great job reloading after losing a bunch of guys to the NBA last year. So if he can continue to do this, why would you leave? Why would you leave a good thing? Continue to be one of the best coaches in college basketball, continue to be at one of the best schools in college basketball, and keep building a dynasty there.
Speaking of jobs, Kentucky is looking for a new head coach because Coach Calipari, John Calipari, is going to Arkansas. And so that leaves Kentucky searching. Pete Thamel on the ESPN broadcast of College Game Day before the national championship game had this to say about Kentucky with a tie to the Chicago Bulls.
So what are the Wildcats, where do they stand right now in terms of who they might be looking at?
Reese, I think you have to start with an aspirational candidate list, and at the top of that would be Billy Donovan, who's the Bulls coach. The early read there is that the answer from Donovan is expected to be the same that it's been the last half dozen years or so when college jobs have called, and Billy has said, no thanks, I'm happy in the NBA. The timing for Donovan, Reese, doesn't work well. The Bulls are in that play-in game in the NBA to get in the playoffs on April 17th. That's a long time from today if you're going to wait to talk to Billy Donovan.
That's an important point. Waiting to work this out for Kentucky. Billy Donovan, the connections make a lot of sense. He used to coach there. But then when you really kind of think about it, as someone who follows the NBA and really loves the NBA, as I think about it, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Why would an NBA head coach willingly go back to the college game with the current college landscape with NIL, the transfer portal, and even if you tell me it's a blue blood, Kentucky, yeah, they're there, they're looking for that next guy. Why would you give up the ease of being an NBA head coach compared to being a college coach where you essentially have to recruit 365 days a year? Mm-hmm. You get the players to commit to your team, you get them on campus, and then you have to recruit to keep their attention and to keep them on campus. It's a never-ending job, and it's a young man's job. I would be surprised if an NBA coach was like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to give up this NBA gig and go back to college basketball. I don't think that that's going to happen anymore.
Well, I think they can wait. So the first part of that is, you know, could they wait until after the play-in tournament, assuming the Bulls lose and don't end up in the first round of the playoffs? Like, could they wait? I think they could, because the candidate list is Scott Drew, it's Billy Donovan, and it was Nate Oates from Alabama. He put out the tweet last night that he's not going anywhere. Where's Scott Drew going? He's not. It's not like there's all these other jobs that are open that these guys are going to get poached. There's one job. It's Kentucky. That's it. So, and then the ripple effect. If Scott Drew leaves Baylor, then there's an opening at Baylor, you know, all that kind of stuff. But right now, it's just one job. So waiting, to me, isn't that big of a deal if you want to get your guy. I don't necessarily agree that he wouldn't. Like, I would be surprised if he went. But I also think that he could still go because the Bulls aren't giving him any resources to win here. At Kentucky, you go to, like you said, a blue blood school. You then hope that you are guaranteed a pool of NIL money that's big enough to where kids now, and Nick Saban said this when he retired, all they care about is how much money you're going to give them. You don't have to convince them, hey, I'm going to turn you to an NBA prospect. Hey, you're going to get drafted in the first round. Hey, all this stuff's going to happen. It doesn't matter to kids anymore. It's how much does the check say? If the check says enough, I'm coming to the school. And if it continues to say enough, I'm going to stay at the school. That's all that matters. The recruiting isn't convincing parents that you're going to, you know, mold their kid into a man and all that kind
of
stuff.
But guys can leave at any point. So, like, it's never ending. And I think that's the headache that older coaches don't want to put up with.
Yeah.
It's a young man's game. That's what it is. If you're willing to put in the work to constantly be reminding these guys that they need to stay with your program, mm-hmm, to buy in, to be here, to that the money for the NILs will be there for you, all that stuff.
That I agree with you.
I think young coaches who haven't established themselves, yeah, are willing to put up with that.
No, I agree with you there.
It's the older generation of coaches, and that's why we've seen pushback from college football coaches. Mm-hmm. We've seen some college basketball coaches kind of look at this situation with the transfer portal, NIL, and the changes in college athletics as like not what they were used to. And we could debate good or bad to why that is.
Yeah.
But I don't think, like, you're an Alabama fan. I think some of this had to play into why Nick Saban wanted out and why he's no longer with the Crimson Tide.
Of course, but Saban's much older than Billy Donovan is. And I think that I agree with you. It's tougher now to be a college head coach than it is to be an NBA head coach. But it's the desire to win. I don't think Billy Donovan's ever going to win anything with the Chicago Bulls. They don't give him enough resources. They're fine with the play-in. They're fine, you know, being the 8th seed, the 7th seed, whatever it is. They don't care. He's got a better chance to win if he goes back to Kentucky and has a chance to make a Final Four, to make a run at another championship. He was an extremely successful. We just mentioned him. He won back-to-back titles at Florida. It's extremely hard to do. Only a few coaches have done it. So he can have more success, I think, at Kentucky than if he stays in Chicago.
It's possible, and it's because of the unseriousness of the Chicago Bulls franchise. Mm-hmm. It's not because Billy Donovan can't win.
No, he's a good head coach.
Like, I think it's crazy that there's some Bulls fans out there thinking that Donovan's the reason this team is ninth in the Eastern Conference.
No.
Look at the roster.
Yeah.
That's why they're in the spot that they're in.
It's not
Billy Donovan's problem.
No.
But it's interesting you kind of say that Billy Donovan, if he wants to win, he'd have a better chance at Kentucky. Let's get to this. The top 25 Chicago-style pizza restaurants.
Hmm.
This is from Yelp.
Yes, Abdel, it is.
You saw this. The top 25. I'm sure it's just littered with different Chicago establishments. The top 25 places to get pizza in the city. Give them to me. 1 through 25, all in the city
limits.
All
right, let's go. Let's go. We'll start with number one. We'll go to the number one. You want to start at number one? The
sure.
number one place to get a Chicago-style pizza. This is deep dish pizza because that's what the world believes is Chicago-style pizza. It's not. It's thin cut. It's tavern cut. You cut it into squares, which I don't agree with, but that's fine. You do what you want to do.
Tavern cut's the best.
It's not. I'm not at a five-year-old's birthday party. I like it in slices. That's just me. Okay? But still, it's thin cut, tavern, cracker crust. That's Chicago style. However, if you want deep dish, the number one place in all of America.
Are you saying this list is for tourists, then?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
The number one place, based off Yelp reviews and what people have said and commented about the reviews of these places, the number one place in the country. We go to Monterey, California. Heirloom Pizza in Monterey, California is the number one place. All right.
Well, let me guess. Is there granola? Is there flax seeds on it?
Maybe there might
be. Like, that's not pizza.
It's
Monterey, California.
Best reviews of the Chicago style pizza.
Yeah, we're going to
Heirloom Pizza.
We're going to go play a round at Pebble, and then we're going to go get our Chicago style deep dish with avocados and Turkey Club dressing.
It's a Yelp thing. It's based on reviews. Number two has got to be Chicago, right? Number two has got to be Chicago. The number two place in the country to get a deep dish style pizza is in Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay, well, that's not even
Carmine's
close.
Pie House in Jacksonville, Florida.
You ever go to a pie house?
I've never gone to a pie house. I've been to a pie home, is what I like to call it. Right. A pie home, not a pie house.
All right, pie house.
Number three's got to be Chicago, right? Number three's got to be Chicago. The best place, maybe a Pequod's, maybe something like that, right?
Like this is all just a long setup for this bit.
Queen Creek, Arizona comes in at number three. Queen Creek, Arizona comes in at number three. Number at Vero Pizza Company, number four has got to be Chicago, right? Number four has got to be Chicago.
Number four has got to be Chicago.
Number four.
I'm sure.
Mason, Ohio.
Yep,
Mason, Ohio.
Ohio
at the Two Cities Pizza Company is number two. Number four. Number five's got to be Chicago, right? Number five, you got to have a top five. You can't have a top five pizza places to get Chicago-style pizza and not have Chicago, right? Placentia, I don't even think this is a real place. Placentia, California? Have you heard of Placentia, California?
No.
Tony's Little Italy Pizza Company in Placentia, California.
Oh, yeah. Tony's Little Italy, yeah, of course.
So not a Chicago place to get a Chicago-style pizza, according to Yelp. Number six. How about this one? The Taste of Chicago. Got to be in Chicago, right?
No,
The Taste of Chicago.
There is no place
the
in
taste
the
of
city
Chicago?
Called The Taste of Chicago.
Chicago.
This is like Florida or something.
Addison, Texas. Addison, Texas. Number seven. We've got to get to a Chicago place in the top 10, right? We've got to. Tortuga's Pizza in Birmingham, Alabama.
All right.
Number seven.
Roll through all these bags. Give me Chicago. What's the first one on the
board? Los Angeles, California comes in at number eight, Masa of Echo Park. Number nine, Bourbon House Pizza in Florence, Kentucky. And number 10, Michael's Original Pizzeria and Tavern in Chicago, Illinois.
Okay, all right. I've heard of Michael's. I've never gone, but I've heard good things.
I've heard good things. Out of the top 25, four are in Illinois. You've got Michael's that I just mentioned. Number 14, Giorgio's Chicago Pizzeria and Pub in South Barrington. You've got Bacino's? I've never in Lincoln Park. Have you been there?
Bacino's?
I've never been to Bacino's. I've never heard of Bacino's. It's in Lincoln Park, apparently.
I don't think I have. But
number 18, number 19 is Bacino's in Chicago, Lincoln Park.
They should have us out. I'd like to try their
pie. I would like to try. And number 20, Pequod's in Chicago, Illinois.
Now, I've had that one, and there was like a different website that crowned Pequod's as the best in the country.
The best pizza in the country.
Best pizza, tavern or deep dish.
These Yelp, get out of here with this.
All right.
This is crap.
Let's go with this. Speaking of the north side of Chicago, did you see over the weekend that Marshmello had a performance on top of the Wiener Circle?
I did.
This was just a pop-up concert
that
took place on top of the Wiener Circle. Now, if you've ever visited Chicago or you live here, the chance to go to the Wiener Circle is very special.
It's awesome.
Because when you go to the Wiener Circle and you order your hot dog, they yell at you.
Yes.
That's the vibe.
It is.
It's a lot of fun.
Make sure you order the chocolate shake.
What happens, Adam, when you order a chocolate shake at the Wiener Circle?
Sworn to secrecy, you have to go. You have to experience it for yourself. Not for kids. Not safe for work.
I believe a topless woman.
Whoa.
Well, then.
Unshirted. Give I believe a, is a the, word. Untopped. An untopped.
We're doing this to toplessness? Like homelessness?
It's untopped.
Unhomed. They're untopped.
They're unshirted.
She will give it a shake.
She'll give you a shake.
Before she gives you your.
Shake.
Yeah, so that's the Wiener Circle. It's a great time. It's an awesome place. And Marshmello was performing above the Wiener Circle on Saturday afternoon in Lincoln Park. You can see Clark Street right there.
Yeah.
Packed. People are out enjoying. Adult, this is pretty awesome. I like
it. It's cool. So they did this for about 20 minutes, and then the cops came and shut it down. Now, I'm so washed that when I saw that video, the first thing I thought of was the people driving and being like, oh, man, that sucks. That sucks. Like, you're just trying to carry on your day, run some errands on a Saturday, and these people have shut down the street.
I don't know,
man. Marshmello concert for 20 minutes before the cops came.
I don't know. I think if you live or have lived anywhere that far east on the north side of the city,
blank show.
The weekend days are always a mess.
Yeah.
So you're right. You see the crowd and you're like, what if someone's driving from the Whole Foods? They're trying to
yeah.
They're trying to get home.
Like, look at that car just like sitting there.
That entire area, even without a concert going on, is always packed.
Now
it's always a nightmare game.
They had barriers set up so cars could come through, but you can see that didn't matter.
Yeah.
Kids don't care, they just wanna rave with Marshmello.
And get their chocolate shakes.
Of course. I mean, why not? You're there, you're shaking anyway.
I wanna finish up with this as we head to Sacramento. Have you ever had a package stolen
yes.
off of your porch?
Multiple.
So there's an individual who decided to go steal off of a porch, but they wore a disguise, and the disguise was a trash bag.
Hmm.
So they looked like a moving trash bag, so they could crouch over to the package, and they could steal the package from the porch.
Oh,
see the individual?
God.
In the bag? And then here goes the little individual as they kind of creep off with
God.
The package as their disguise was a trash bag. Your thoughts on the video, Abdul?
Okay. First of all, that person earned that package. If you, I don't care what's in it, you earned the package, ma'am. I assume, ma'am, because of the sandal situation that was going on. It could be part of the ploy.
A man's foot?
It could be part of the ploy. Just look at the sandals. That's a woman's foot. Come on.
It looks tiny.
Okay. So if you come up with this ingenuity, whatever this is, you get the package. This is not just some guy walking up and taking your Amazon package off of your porch. This is ingenuity. This is thought. They had a costume. This is a whole heist.
Yeah, I saw it and I immediately started laughing because it's – could you imagine going to your Ring camera, you get the alert, and then you look at who's on your porch and it's not – there's no person. It's just a bag.
Yeah.
A moving bag.
And that's why I said that person gets to keep the package.
We've had packages stolen before,
yeah.
But the individual wore – like an Amazon vest. You know, they wear the little vest?
Yeah.
He had one, and he got buzzed in. You know, he went through the little door thing until someone eventually
of course.
Buzzed him in.
Mm-hmm.
He buzzed in, and then he put all of the packages in his backpack.
Oh, my God.
And then walked off, and he was wearing an Amazon shirt.
That's just like
the vest that they
that's
wear.
That's the lowest level of the town. Right?
Totally
like in the
true.
Town, they wear the paramedics outfit.
Oh, for heists?
Yeah. And they wear the what do you call it, the police uniforms.
They wear the nun
when they go into
stuff?
Fenway. Yeah. If you're getting the Amazon thing, because like with an Amazon package, you don't know what's in it. So for a bit that we had to do here at the station, I had to order a Santa wig and a hat. And someone stole the original package. And it's like, all right, buddy, you got a $10 Santa wig. Like, they think they're getting something cool, and it's like they open it up, and they're like, what the crap is this? Take it back.
So the individual who had the package stolen from them,
mm-hmm.
They said that it didn't matter really to them much because they only had two phone chargers in that package, and it was less than $10 that the person put a trash bag on to then creep up. To go steal $10 worth
of
phone charge.
I am very scared of package theft because as a shoeman, I get like Nikes and stuff like that delivered.
A shoeman?
A shoeman, yeah. I hate the word sneakerhead. I prefer Schumann.
Come on, it's your personality.
No, it's not. Yeah. It's not. I just wear them.
You're
I just
a shoe guy.
I just wear them.
It's a part of your personality.
It's not a part of my personality, but the problem is that they just leave them on the doorstep, and there's a gigantic Nike swoosh on the box, and it's like, well, you know what this is. They're going to steal it. So you have to find ways around it.
Discreet packaging.
You do. It needs to be like Blue Chew or something like that, where it's like it doesn't say Chris Blex boner pills. It doesn't say that. It says not shoes on it. That's what it should say, not shoes.
People finding this show on YouTube have no idea what you just referenced.
Well, if you missed any of the action, make sure you check out the podcast on the Bleck and Abdallah page on the ESPN Chicago page as well.
Make sure you like and subscribe to this page, After Hours with Bleck and Abdallah. And like Abdallah said, check out the podcast in case you missed it on the ESPN Chicago app. We'll talk to you later.